There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. But I'm a bad motherfucker, I do it times. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. And I'm the arms of the world, trying to throw it. If you want to stay well, baby, I'm coming after you.
And welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Avengers Alliance 1. I am Epic Boss McFall. I am Epic Boss McFall, and I am here with a whole crew of people I'm very, very excited about. First off, we've got Soapbox Klotz.
Yeah.
There we go. It is cheery for him. He's wearing his cheerful alt today. You've got, before we get to the golden voice in the headlines, we have a special guest today. Who are you, special guest?
It's Uncle George.
It's Uncle George!
Yeah, I'm here to chew UISO and kick ass, and I'm all out of UISO.
And as always, a golden voice of Brian Abbott bringing us headlines.
So if we're the number one news source for MAA1, does that mean we're going to be the number two news source for MAA2? Just curious.
Who's number two?
Number one, who is number two?
You tell him. You show that poos, boss. All right. Headlines. Here's what we're going to be talking about on the show today. Whoosh. What just flew by? Oh, it was a pre-VP. That happened. MAA Insiders teases a duck. Marvel talks about something called 2? I don't know. And we'll talk about a special episode of FTH next week. A very special. We need piano music in the background of this. Where's Mike? We need bling, bling, bling. A very special FTH next week. But before we get to all those news stories and more, Paul is going to tell us.
No, I'm not. The game won't load for me.
Oh, really? So I'll tell you what's on sale.
So if you guys want to know what's on sale,
log in and look. Actually, I'll tell you. The aside from, what is it, some lockboxes, it's loading for me.
I think the Oni Breaker's on sale.
Oh, and A-Bomb's on sale. Yeah, that didn't show up for me because I've already got them. But the Oni Breaker is on sale for 64 gold. It is an ethereal strike weapon. Really good against your vampires and demons and undead with hallowed vulnerability. Yeah, this would have been nice, you know. It was a good weapon for the Spec Ops that just ended a little while ago.
Yeah.
It's a good completionist weapon. I don't think it's an absolute necessity, but it's an all enemy attack. That actually is a really nice part of it is an all enemy attack against vampires and demons and stuff. So good if you want to have that advantage. I guess good if you've got like there is something that turns your enemies hallowed, right? Or it was a consumable though, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe you're correct.
Yeah. So Oni Breaker on sale, as well as lockboxes for Enchantress, and of course the 64 gold Spec Ops item that probably will be about the only mention we have of Spec Ops, because I think everybody's all kingpinned out at this point.
I'm still hitting the ATM up for cash.
I guess that is really good benefit, a side benefit of Kingpin, is he's a cash pinata, especially if you bring the right team, a good multi-hit team, power hitter team.
Absolutely. So did you buy the hammer or did you make the hammer?
I made just about everything. Like I either crafted one in roulette, or I guess either crafted one in roulette, because I guess you craft the things that you get the disassembled weapon parts for. So
yeah,
no gold spent.
Sweet. I've crafted a hammer. I'm hunting the brass knuckles now. The official, not the ones, of course, we make in the spec ops, but the
right.
The one you win.
The actual right piece, yep. Set piece. And I haven't, because of the pre-VEP that we're going to talk about in a second, I didn't do anything in spec ops, and I'm kind of debating going back to farming. There's less than a week left of spec ops, or really about a week left of spec ops. 6 days and an hour. Oh, no, I guess it's 7 days and an hour because it says 6 days remaining and that's when it switches to 24 hours.
Right.
That would be the only thing I'd want to do is farm those remaining EISOs and AISOs in there. George, how are you doing with your Spec Ops collection? Have you gotten everything that you want out of Spec Ops?
Oh, I'd have to take an inventory. I got most of the ISOs, the A's and the E's that are available. Mm-hmm. And I got some multiples of good ones like the Pyrophoric AISO.
Yep.
Like that one a lot.
Oh, cool.
Right now I'm pounding on the hammering pistol in the research room.
Cool.
And I'm two components away from having enough to do the daily roulette prize. And I managed to spin the knuckles for
nice
from the epic boss. So, yeah, all in all, another good PvP run.
Good deal. Oh, yeah, very good. I don't know if I got the Pyrophoric. What is the actual name of it? Do you know? Or I have the
it
right.
Is Pyrophoric.
It's called Pyrophoric. Okay. Which
it's orange with the flame. That's all I know about it.
Yeah. See, that's the EISO, I like how it's sort of alphabetical order. Like it's in different groups of alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I'm just seeing if I did
it. They finally managed to come up with a reasonable way to sort the heroes. Now they can just do our supplying the same way.
Hold on. I think your microphone just went kabupkis.
Yeah, I was wondering if, that's just in my head. Yeah.
It's just the Independence Day aliens coming back.
Oh, that's what we'll talk about breaking the panel.
Say something again, George.
There
okay.
We go.
Okay, good. You're good. Yeah, you were roboting there for a second. Like it, you sound like a Cylon. Actually, I'm actually even questioning whether or not you're human or not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need to go reboot my brain. Hang on.
Yeah, I didn't get Pyrophoric. I got Eyebite, but. Which is how some people pronounce my last name, but I did not get the Pyrophoric. Where's some of the other ones? There was another one too, right? Or a couple other ones.
There's a couple.
Gritty, the Sandy.
Right. Sandy, Hemorrhage. Oh, no, that's an AISO. So the three, the EISOs are ablative, dodgy, empowered. I'm sorry, hair trigger, Sandy.
See, I haven't got a hair trigger yet.
Pyrophoric is an AISO. Okay.
Yes, an AISO.
Yeah.
The one that everybody's crying because they can't put on Rockets number one or right. Something. It's like,
yes.
He's already got enough on him. Chill out. It's okay.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I've got multiple of the Pyro. I think I've got two of the Sandy. I know I have one of the Ablative, which is you take half damage from gun attacks. I don't have the hair trigger, which is really what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still farming for me. And I still need to find I need to get enough of the kits to build the knuckles. And I'm farming that in the Epic Boss one so that I might spin it up instead. Yeah. You never know.
Right. Yeah.
I need a 5-star mission 1 and 2 just to get that extra 10 CP.
Exactly. It's worth it, especially if you're going through and cycling through and trying to get those other things, you might as well do it in the, you know, first go through every mission to 5-star it, and then whichever mission seems to drop it the best. And I don't know which one it is. Usually you can pick a mission where you've got a specific hero deploy right off the bat, which I think.
Unfortunately, this one doesn't have a convenient deploy like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the third one you can do Elsa Bloodstone immediately, but it's a three battle
right.
Before she comes back.
Yeah. Same with Spider-Man in Mission 2.
And the second
and
one.
Any hero in Mission 1.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a 40 minimum probably UISO cycle, if that's the way you want to do it.
That's not a bad way to do it, though, and just avoid doing the bosses. Once you've got five stars, there's really, unless you want to go for the epic roulettes, which is another way of getting those things. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, doing the epic, if you're five-star and everything, just do the epic one because you get at least two shots of EISO and ISO because the main boss and then the epic boss.
Yeah, I think that is a really good way to do it for sure. All right, cool. I didn't even have spec ops in the show notes, but that's it for spec ops. Let's talk about, or I'm sure I should say, anybody got anything else to talk about with spec ops?
No.
Everybody got Boomerang. Good. We've all got Jessica Jones. We probably, because of the simulator, we've probably got them both up to level 12 or 13.
I will point out with Boomerang for sure, everything is slashing, and then you have other stuff with it. So you've got slashing melee, slashing range, slashing explosive. So a lot of these that are coming out, there's a EISO, I want to say, that all slashing attacks cause hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. I thought there was one with slashing that was subtle, makes it subtle or something like that. So just keep in mind, all of his attacks are slash based when you're equipping him out.
That's smart. Yeah, that's a really good way to do it. The looking it up right now, the Vorpal gives you equip slashing attack, gains ignore defense. These are AISOs, by the way. Let's see.
Vampiric's probably a good one.
Vampiric,
That was what I was thinking of. Yes.
Consumes bleeding on targets to restore health.
Yeah, because that's a slashing AISO only.
Increased chance to crit, increased chance to hit, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, those are the two that you'd probably want to go for is the Vampiric and the Vorpal. And the thing I'm looking at doesn't list any EISOs, but there you go.
Cool.
All right. So let's move on down the list here to Pre-VP. It's kind of weird that we actually, between the last episode of From the Helicarrier and this episode, there was actually a PvP season, a little tiny short 5-day, 6-day season. How did we all do in it? And what are our thoughts on kind of something delivered in a way that we've been asking for, if not with all the method that we've been asking for? In other words, great that we got a nice short PvP season, but giving us the same requirements of number of attacks and things like that, the same percentages.
Well, the percentages do change. It's like 1% for adamantium instead of 0.5.
Right, yes.
And it's 5% for vibranium. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you noticed, but you don't. It's not the ranking or. It was straight up this many attacks and that percentage.
Right, yeah, that's right. You didn't have to have a certain score level. How'd you do? How did we all do?
I hate pre-VP.
I did awesome.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you accomplished everything you wanted to in pre-VP.
He is so much happier about this than I am, and I'm mad at him for that right now. They fixed a lot of things, and that's my problem. Now, I got so used to how it was broken, how it worked. Okay, so case in point, if you're getting 8,000 health in PvE, then it's going to be like 24,000 health in PvP.
Right.
No, they fixed that. So it's not doing the bonuses that it was doing. They nerfed it down. Then the guns. Okay, the shotgun. I can't remember the one we got that goes along with the Daughter of the Dragon. We got her shotgun, and it was, I'm telling you, still in PvE, it's blasting everybody, man. It's on a low end, I'll hit 7,000 or 8,000 on a critical. When it says it's only supposed to hit about 2,000 or 3,000, it's really criticaling hard. And I'm getting upwards of 22,000 in one shot with that thing. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to throw it into PvP, because even if it doesn't boost up the attack, that same critical will kill anybody. Because now we're running at 15 and 20,000 health. It'll kill them. Nope. They fixed all the weapons to scale down to your level now. Because that wasn't the case before. So now when you're playing level 70 in PvP, that gun hits for like 2,000. It's like, oh.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's scaled down. It just feels like it's less. Well, I guess
it's scaled to level 70.
Right. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Because that's what the level cap was. That's what that my interpretation is. It scaled to level 70 because that was a level cap. Before it wouldn't be. It'd be your hero is playing on level 70, but your gun is still level 300.
Gotcha.
And they fixed that. And so now I didn't have the design. Once I saw all this stuff, because the first battle I jumped into, I was like, where's my health? My health is not where it's supposed to be. It should be in the almost 30s, and it's 15,000. And once my team started really being ineffective, and I don't know why it was ineffective, but I had Spitfire and Amazing Spider-Girl, and for the first 2 days, just smashed everybody, just walked through. And got to day three, and it was like they couldn't hit anything. Everything was dodging. Right. They're getting killed fast. And I ended up going back with – I did two teams, but ultimately landed on Enchantress and Matt Murdock's Man Without Fear alt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at one point I had that – I hit that median mark where you're not going to go any further. I was about halfway through Vibranium, and I'm getting three losses on defense to one win on offense. And before that, my defense actually did okay. I came into some green numbers during the week. But on game day, I couldn't get past 2.5%. Just could not overcome the loss of defenses. And I don't know if that's normal from now on or what's going to work. But I came up short on adamantium. And I was like, eh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't have minded those armory items. But vibranium, get some gold, get some silver.
A lot of silver, yeah.
A lot of silver. I was having some problems with Emma's psychic attack triggering on the opponent, but not causing the mental anguish after they attacked. And they didn't have, and there was no no blocking, no mental shielding, anything like that. She would put it on them, they'd attack, nothing would happen. Yet if same thing happened with me every single time.
Now, did it happen mostly with Invisible Woman? Or did it happen on every team?
Happened with, I wouldn't say it happened with every team, but it did happen with quite a few teams.
I think there was a subtle boost, either this or it wasn't working properly before. But I think there was a subtle boost to Invisible Woman's AISO. Is it A or no, her EISO? EISO.
The one that clears debuffs or prevents debuffs.
Right. It clears and prevents when they proc a shield. However, I noticed with her teams that they had a shield 24/7. There was never not a shield. So somebody would go and attack, right? They would start their attack. Emma Frost would hit them with the mental anguish. I was like, cool. They didn't proc a shield, but they didn't proc mental anguish either. Mm. It's like, wait a minute.
I was noticing the same thing myself.
Yeah.
And I most of the time when I was able to look at the agent, he did have a removes all debuffs for the first two rounds or three rounds. Some device, maybe the Mystic or something.
Mm-hmm.
And either that or typically, again, it was the shield thing. I was like, this is so frustrating. But good news, you can put Shield Burst on Daredevil's third attack, which is the one that he procs when you're going to do a violent one. So he just started popping shields all the time. But it made for a slower battle, which was part of my game day. And I didn't push that hard on game day either, but it was part of my issue with game day was, okay, I've got a team that wins, but it's slower because I have to pop the shields. Then I can go in with the mental anguish or anything else.
Right.
Nikolai actually threw a great team that he's been using for two seasons now. He calls it the British Invasion. It's Spitfire and I just lost her
Elsa?
Name. Elsa, thank you.
Yeah.
And I kept wanting to say Elsa, but kept saying, no, that's wrong. But it's Spitfire.
No, that's
Elsa.
The girl from Frozen. What is her name?
It's not Anna. It's not, no.
Right. That's so cool. That's seems like a good combo, too.
And he said he's done really well with him. I think too, that they've, we did get patch notes. Nikolai sent me patch notes. I've got to pull those up because there's some undocumented changes that they did announce that we want to talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But part of the documented change was they've basically nerfed all the other classes, all the other ranks of 13, 14 to make 15 more important. So you'll level your characters up to 15 faster. It gives a bigger boost than the other levels do. So I think that's part of it. If he has, I think last count was what, he has 45 or 50 level 15s. You know, that definitely makes a big difference to 15 or 20 level 15s.
Sure. Yeah. Definitely does. Yeah. Seeing those and again, facing a lot of the same teams, you know, a lot of the Pestilence Enchantress teams, mm-hmm. a lot of, a ton of Heroic Age Iron Fist teams. And he's great for clearing and preventing those debuffs, so I don't blame people for running him. But even seeing a lot of Null Kurth teams kind of coming back after not seeing as many of them the last time we had a PvP.
The second I took that gun off as magic warding, that's all I hit was Null Kurth. So I just put it right back into my armory, or right back into my set, rather.
Right.
What about you, Uncle George? Overall, what was your impression of the PvP?
It seems to be running better. I still hate the ALO system, but that's something we've got to live with. And mm-hmm. I've been getting frustrated with the last two PvPs and PvPs because it seems like the moment I managed to climb just fine and then I crossed the threshold into adamantium and all of a sudden I'm on a treadmill. No matter how many battles I play, I can just not get high enough to get a cushion between myself and the threshold.
Yeah.
So each of them, I've been, three of the last seasons, I ended up within 10 points of 1550, just under. And then with this last one, I really didn't care enough to really push it. So I think I was, and it finished up at 3%, the third 3 percentile. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what I need to do to get off that treadmill and actually manage to climb.
Yeah, I don't know. I was noticing that too. And but at what point I just kind of gave up. And is that? Do we think that may be a problem with the shorter season? Is that because everybody's scrambling all at the same time, you're getting a lot more attacks in a smaller period of time, which makes it harder to catch up. Usually you can kind of take those first couple weeks of PvP, ramp up a pretty decent high, maybe not into adamantium, but certainly into vibranium. And then you've got that smaller ramp to go through to get to adamantium. Whereas with a shorter season like this, it's you know, everybody's all crammed in doing a lot of attacks. You're getting a lot of attacks when you're AFK or just a lot of defense attacks. And again, like you said, it's just really hard to catch up or to get ahead when you feel like you're just running to stand still.
Yeah, that was my MO up until, it's been my MO all the time, but up until the Spider Girl PvP.
Mm-hmm.
I was managing to get up into adamantium fairly early, and this time it seems like a lot of people are trying that, and that is what's making it harder for the field to catch up with them. There's just a lot more competition early, I think. So that's what I'm expecting is a factor here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something I've noticed in other games that I've played that I enjoy is it does change the feel of it. I get that. I don't know where to play here or not, but PvP losses don't affect you. Only PvP wins. I mean, Hearthstone is mm-hmm. is like that to a point. I mean, Hearthstone does it to a point, to a certain ranking up, losses don't matter, but after a certain ranking, they matter.
Well, but here's the thing. You'll mm-hmm. always get the highest prize you've earned. So if you go up to 12, your loot, you know, your crate of loot that you get from Hearthstone will reflect that, even if you get knocked back down to 19.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yeah. That's cool. And with Hearthstone, you only lose the battles you play. Like, that's the only...
That is different. Right.
Yeah, you can get up to 19, stay at 19. You've got your crate. You've got your new card back for that month, whatever. And if you don't do any more battles, ranked battles that season, then you stay at that rank. And I think that, you know, obviously we have a new game coming out. We're going to be talking about it. Don't worry, people. We're talking about it. But with this current system, I don't think they're going to make any changes to that, obviously, in the way they do that. I'm sure it's just going to be a adjustments to balance, adjustments to the fight system as far as who you're fighting, if there are any adjustments that need to be made. But I don't think we're going to see anything, any changes for the way your rank is attained.
You know, another, and this, we're going to talk a little bit more about this on Breaking the Panel, because it's a specific game that I want to review and talk about, but it's the Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. Mm-hmm. Another thing that they've done, I noticed, besides the fact that I can go into an attack and lose, and my rank stays the same. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be attacked while I'm gone. I have no idea when I'm being attacked because it doesn't matter. Only if I win do I move up, period. And that helps with your level. And, of course, you're picking the people you fight against, and they're all in the same range you are. Something I noticed early on, I'm going for the weak teams, right? I'm ranking up so fast, and I'm level 12 as a player, and I'm getting level 2 players to fight against. Of course I'm going to pick them because I want to destroy them and move on. Well, I picked one, and it went, nope, he's already in a match. You can't do that. Because in the time that it refreshed on my screen, I decided to pick that person to destroy. Somebody else had fought him. As opposed to what feels like on MAA PvP. Now, this might not be true with the code, but it feels this way. Is I'm fighting one attack battle, and I literally come out and had dropped in my percentage. I went from 2%. I'm like, all right, I won. I'm finally going to break that 2% mark, and it says I'm at 3%. Like, mm-hmm. What? And I check my battle report, and that one battle, bam, 3 losses on defense. It feels like I can be nailed at the same time from different directions.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Good to have the shorter. I love the shorter season. Mm-hmm. I love only having, you know, 5 or 6 days for a PvP, only for the nice to take a break from it kind of aspect, instead of feeling like the daily drudge of doing your 5 battles. If they're going to do that, there does need to be some sort of adjustment so that you don't have to cram the same number of battles or a pretty close number of battles. Again, the percentages are changed because of pre-VP. But it feels like we shouldn't have to spend 24 hours a day doing battles just to try and get that adamantium.
I love that Hearthstone concept that I didn't even know was there of once you've earned a level, let's say you tag into adamantium, you mm-hmm. can stop because right. even yes. if you get knocked back down to silver, you still get the adamantium because you earned it.
Right.
I think
right.
that's the biggest frustration I definitely have is I never touched adamantium this time. So I would not be crying any tears. Mm-hmm. I didn't play that hard. I didn't have the team to make it, whatever. I didn't earn adamantium. But when I do get it, that's been my complaint, especially that one where I came in 1 point away, is I'd been adamantium for 2 weeks, and I've been mm-hmm. up and in and up and in, and it's up to like an 1800 ranking at one point, and I didn't finish with it. That's hard. That's very mm-hmm. difficult, and it does take away some of the fun of the game.
Right.
You didn't work hard enough.
You didn't pray hard enough, son. No. I forgot Klaus was here for a second. I was like, oh, crap, a voice in my head is telling me guilty stuff.
I didn't forget.
No. so I think that's good on – I'm good on PvP. What about you guys? You guys good?
Yeah, I'm afraid like yeah. need to cover it. Paul, you good? You got nothing else to mm-hmm. –
Real good.
Okay, let's talk about something I'm sure that made George excited. Certainly made me excited. Yeah. Was a tease that we got from the MAA Insider's Twitter feed about something that walks like a duck, looks like a duck, it's got to be Howard. So we're finally getting, and this is funny because this is one of those sprites that got uncovered years ago, a couple years ago.
First year, I think.
Yeah. Or at least maybe not a sprite, but one of those little headshot panels,
yes.
character headshot panels. We saw Howard the Duck. And ever since then, it's been a, you know, are we ever going to get Howard? Was that just a joke? And now, you know, now that he's been announced, it kind of has turned into, oh, great, we're getting Howard, spoken by comic fans who read comics in the 70s, yeah. versus, oh, crap, they've really jumped the shark, spoken by people who've only seen the movie from the 80s.
But, okay, if you skip the movie from the 80s and have never heard of that and never heard of the comics, look at the stinger sure. on the end of Guardians of the Galaxy. That was a comic Howard the Duck.
Right.
He was kind of cool. You know, I'm all for it. And yes, I did read the comics. And yes, I did see the 80s hey, movie. Which was
Hey, Howard the Duck was part of Civil War.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't get, I think he tried to register.
He had register to go register. The, yeah. No,
they kept and then they yep. said, you don't exist because yeah. you're from another dimension.
That was great. That was right. a good one off. George, tell us your thoughts, because you probably had the most excited here.
Yeah, I think that's going to be cool. It's going. He's one of my favorite characters.
Hold on.
Okay.
Turn off and on your microphone, or can you do that? I think in.
Hey, George, your Skynet is showing.
There we go. You're good.
Am I good now?
Yeah, you're good. I'll just interrupt you, make you pause for a few seconds, because then that USB, it's a USB codec issue, which has been plaguing podcasters for years.
Yeah.
But, okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I've been a fan of Howard for many, many years, since his first appearance, actually.
Hold on. Pause a sec.
Okay.
Don't say anything for a minute. And don't even say okay to me saying don't say anything. Okay, now talk.
Okay.
Oh, bummer. Nope, still there.
All right. Let me try and plug it.
Yeah, here's what I'd recommend. Open up, go into your Skype preferences. This is good audio.
This is a great podcast for
podcasting. Go into Skype, go under the Skype menu, choose preferences. And then under audio video, where it says microphone, change from whatever microphone it currently is using to built in, and then change it back.
See, you know, I think it's the whole bringing Howard the Duck from the 70s. You brought back ancient podcast issues as well with this.
Ancient podcast issues.
The curse of the Howard mummy is what we're dealing with here.
Okay, right. I'm back.
All perfect. Right. Sounds good.
Am I better?
Do
it quick before it comes back.
Okay. So, I'm just kidding. No. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Howard in the game, and I'm really looking forward to what I fully expect to be one of his actions, Master of Quack Fu.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, which is one of those things that from the movie was just really goofy, but from the old comic book, well, it was still kind of goofy, but
it was goofy, but it worked. It was a lot of the things that Steve Gerber, the writer, was doing was parodying other Marvel characters. So at one point you have Iron Duck, you have the Master of Quack Fu, who was a riff on Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu.
Right.
Yeah, they also did a 2-issue Star Wars parody, which was amusing.
Oh, yeah.
So it was very satirical, very a lot of parody in it. So it was fun.
Yeah. Did you say satanical?
Little known to a lot of people, Howard the Duck actually makes an appearance in Lego Marvel Heroes.
Yeah, oh, really? So this isn't even his first video game appearance.
No, he can be unlocked as a Lego character, as a little Daredevil mission. Not Daredevil, I'm sorry, a Deadpool mission. Deadpool is the unlockable guy, and he has all the secret missions in the Lego game. And I unlocked him, and that little duck is crazy. I mean, he has some great little one-liners as part of his story, and his weapon of choice is his massive bazooka that he blows up everything with in the Lego game. So I was like, it's going to be fun. I'm definitely looking forward to Howard the Duck being in this game finally. However, it might be the death bell ringing for the game. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the way they teased it, it seemed like they were going to be doing, and then they still may, be doing the Christmas lockboxes like we've had with Kang and Dr. Doom.
I could see him being a standalone character too. He never got along because, with anybody.
Because none of the other heroes want to be.
Right. Right. That would be a great line.
I thought
line.
Last year's Christmas lockbox hero was Hybrid, was it not?
No.
Hybrid was a Christmas lockbox wasn't. Hybrid wasn't a Christmas lockbox. He was a regular lockbox, I thought.
We got Kang through a different means.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I'm confusing.
We did get the Kang lockbox, but I don't think it was the holiday lockbox.
Okay.
I'm looking up MAA Christmas lockbox and see.
Okay. Yep.
See
cool.
What pops up.
Maybe you're right. I think actually we did get Kang via regular lockboxes. Anyway, but people.
Maybe it was hybrid.
Yeah. Rhea's confirming, and Agent, a lot of people are confirming actually that Hybrid was Christmas. Okay.
Yeah. So there's impending for Doom, and then the Hybrid lot boxes. I don't know what they were called, but
symbiotic.
There you go. Right. So, yes, you're correct. But okay. It is time. It is definitely. Well, 2014.
The main reason I know that is because I did not get enough log boxes to win hybrid back then. And I finally managed to win a few off of the Saturday roulettes, enough to buy a couple more boxes with gold and ensure that I got them.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, so, but I think they started those before. They started those earlier, like Dr. Doom and then hybrid.
Usually it was 15 to 20 days out because you had missions every day and you could not open them until
Christmas. Up until Christmas. So who knows if we're going to get the same situation here, and maybe they just extend the timeline that you can get lock boxes. But who knows? Could be covert ops. There haven't been any other announcements as far as how we're going to get Howard. How we're going to get Howard.
It's a secret.
That's right. So keep an eye out for that. Charles, do you want to kind of go through some of the highlights of the patch notes?
Yeah. So there was, of course, with the pre-VP dropping, there was a patch notes in. It gave you all kind of stuff here. But there's, of course, a whole community of people who get the undocumented stuff. They figure out and find out in the code what was changed that was not announced. I want to go over some of it, and this is going to be a mix of announced and non-announced. There's definitely some nerfs. Black Knight got, I don't think he got nerfed. I think he got fixed to work properly, like his absorb power.
Right.
Doesn't proc on psychic energy or stealthy attacks or defensive, which it was procing on everything before, which is not quite right. So that got fixed.
Can I interrupt really quick?
Yes, of course.
Okay. This just in, boop, because of thanks to Onotopia in the chat room. Mm-hmm. Howard the Duck is going to be the holiday lockbox giveaway hero. It's going to run for 3 weeks. Daily mission quests are going to give a 5 lockbox reward. Each weekly quest is going to give you 20 lockboxes. So there'll be 3 20 lockbox weekly quests and then 21 daily lockbox rewards. So add that up. Howard the Duck, he's going to be a tactician. His actions are Eat My Glove, Fury's Closet, where he gets to pull out Coulson's BFG, reinforcements.
Okay. If anybody knows what BFG is, you've got a special place in my heart because that's old school right there.
Neurotripe. And these are all multi actions for his second one. Friggin' Sword of Hope. Action 3, George, you called it Quack Foo.
Yeah.
And action 4 is Ductini.
Where he's feeling ducky. It's a self buff.
That's right. Yes.
So we really get to duck the halls.
That's right. In addition, we're also getting a Squirrel Girl cosplay uniform.
For Howard the Duck? Howard the Duck cosplay uniform on a beautiful Squirrel
Girl. It's Squirrel Girl that gets to wear the uniform, Howard the Duck.
Oh, so she dresses like Howard the Duck.
She dresses like Howard. She's cosplaying as Howard.
Weird, but okay, I'll take it.
Her passives are Hard Nut to Quack and Ducks in a Row. Of course. We also have Spec Ops 32 announced, which is going to be Follow the Leader. Red She-Hulk is going to be the reward hero. She's going to be a generalist. And
there you go.
New lockbox hero. Oh, look at this. And Kilgar is in the chat room. He's going to be super happy about this. Winter Soldier announced as a lockbox hero.
And he's an infiltrator, as he should be.
He's an infiltrator. Group boss, Zax. So that's cool.
God, I remember Zax from Scooby-Doo.
And holy crap, they just pooped out a massive dump of information. Chapter 10 has been announced, and Count Nefaria is going to be a new boss. There'll be new maps, new location.
You also skipped over to the leader. The leader's going to be a new leader, bad guy.
New villain, new villain, the leader. Damon Hellstrom is going to be Angrier, the Breaker of Souls.
Yeah, I can take that.
And our heroics are going to be Hercules, Constrictor, Chase Stein, Victor, Mancha, Thor, Captain Britain, Kitty Pride, Arcade, Blade, and Morbius, Mr. Fantastic, Magneto, Black Bolt, Medusa, and and Hellcat. Maximus Patsy Walker, finally, we're going to get Hellcat as a reward here for PvP 27.
Nice, the Patsy Walker version.
Look at Playdom just spilling all their candy in the lobby right here.
We get
the announcement of about 6 new playable characters right here, right?
And there's no dates on it. These are just reveals. Right. These are in their official forms. So this is all.
You know what this is. This is them saying, hey, still play MA1. Don't worry, there's still stuff coming.
There's still stuff coming.
Cool. Playdom, if you're listening, thank you for announcing this during the show so we can break the news here.
In fact, they lead with that sentence. Now that MAA2 has been revealed, it's time for us to reveal what MAA1 has in store. And that's only chapter 10. We still have 2 more chapters after that to complete the saga of
if
season
they're
going
to do. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess they have to at least do one more because there's for the next worthy. They could do an 11.
They could. Yeah. But there's at least one more worthy coming. So.
Theory,
right. I think they'll finish it out. I mean, that's the thing. These things have been in works for a long time. So I don't, it's still, as long as it still makes money, they're going to still do it.
Right. So, sorry.
I'm excited.
I am too. That's a lot of great stuff for announced for the game. All right. Go back to the patch notes.
So there's a lot of changes to protect and phased, good changes, I think. I'm going to skip through all this stuff because there's just a lot of stuff you can read through. The notes will be notes to both the forum, the announcement we just read, and the patch notes will be in the show notes going up later on this evening. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the undocumented stuff. So the documented stuff is just a lot of blah, blah, blah. Okay, tweaks that you should make, tweaks that are good. Here's the undocumented. I'm not going to read them all because it's a lot, but there's a lot of decreased. A lot of decreased.
Yes.
And these are major numbers. Now, here's a good one. Increased. A-bomb's ready to rumble. His minimum damage is increased from 0.283 to 0.288. Those are, I'm imagining, multipliers or some kind of RNG percentages, the way it's documented. This is a little beyond my understanding, but from reading into it, this is how it works. Max damage increased from 0.339 to 346. So some small increases to A-bomb. Then it's literally a list of reduced.
Paul, I think your microphone got switched to your more built-in.
Reduced. Bishops reduced. Black cats reduced. Like anybody use black cat.
I know. That's going to make me stop playing black cat. Yeah.
Black Panther, though, was increased. The Wakandan Arts is both minimum and max was increased damage. Black Widow reduced. Here's something that actually made me a little excited. I want to try to level him up and play him. Captain Britain, Save the Queen, has been increased in damage. And his damage already was a huge window compared to some of these others. It went from the range is from 0.4 to 0.7. And both of those are actually almost on the next number up. So those are some big damage windows there. Deadpool's reduced. His bang, 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 which is his second attack, was reduced. Drax has been increased. Elsa Bloodstone has been increased. Lots of lists here. So a lot of reductions to people. I don't even understand why you reduce these.
For balance, I guess.
I guess, maybe.
Elsa's fourth attack, if you could set it up, was a powerhouse.
But she's been increased. It's which one is it? Elsa's the Slayer, which is the fourth attack, I believe, has been increased.
Oh, increased. Okay. Yep, sorry, I thought you said decreased. Dang. Okay.
No. So there's a lot of these here. I'm just kind of getting past this huge list. Wait, where's Sandy? Sandman got reduced. He got 2 of his hammering blows and sand spikes are reduced. So going on down. And Wonder Man had his damage reduced. Like, really? Because he wasn't hitting that hard when I had to use him in heroic because it stood. So thanks. I'm looking at these effects. There was something, I think that was it was all the reductions. Okay. Here's the interesting. Now I want to throw this out, especially to Klotz, who understands how games works and can explain the numbers to me. So this is why I'm throwing it to you, Klotz, because of your longtime expertise on what this might mean. Rune of Fear has been updated in the description from 20% chance for attacks to fail and cower in fear, only occurring once per round. with some other stuff to go with it. Two, chance for attacks to fail only occurring once per round. And then they added this line, damage dealt is based on the affected character's attack stat. So what does that mean in the change, in that change? What does that possibly mean?
Well, that should mean that the damage from the attack is based on the target's attack values. So it'll hit offensive characters harder and like more defensive balanced characters softer. Which is
so it didn't hit as hard as it was, is what you're saying.
I don't know. I mean,
it was dealt, it was based on hers, wasn't it? Don't you think?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be something we'd have to see like under the hood on, you know what I mean? To like see what the scale is. Yeah. I would imagine if they made a change like this, that they tuned it to be slightly lower, even at its maximum. But it definitely seems like it's meant to punish the really offensive characters, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's going to be, it's interesting, but a lot of the bugs and balances fix was about right, but the undocumented stuff, lots of decreases. And somebody's saying Black Cat's deadly if you ISO her right. Okay, everybody is deadly in the right situation at the right time with the right things, but in an overall gameplay factor, I've used her. I've bought her alt. I've used her in different ways. I've ISO'd her differently. And yes, I've made her more powerful, but never is she the character that you want to use all the time. Well, for me, okay, I'll speak for myself. Never is she the character I want to use all the time. And she absolutely has been banned from PvP. You know, Deadpool's standing there going, here's my ban. It's yours now. So that's kind of the patch notes. I find it interesting, the numbers here and how they work. Some of these numbers comparatively are really, really huge. Okay, an example. Sandman's hammering blow, his max damage was 1.513. So I'm assuming that gets calculated against his attack and other things that play in. Versus, let me find a nice low one. Versus a max on Jessica Jones, her swatted, her max damage was 0.229. So I mean, that's a huge gap between his max damage and her max damage on that particular, you know, not compared apples to oranges, but you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of interesting things. If you're a nut for numbers, then you're going to want to dig through this. If you're not, then yeah, I'm not exactly sure what it means other than it's a great list to say, I'm going to stop using this character and I'm going to start using this one more. Mm-hmm. So done. There you go. Now cool. Y'all can wake up. It's okay.
patch notes done talking about. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's jump into this. We knew we were going to be talking about MA2. You knew we were going to be talking about MA2. And before we get into all the specifics of the things we know and things we've seen, let's talk about From the Helicarrier. There's no current plans to split From the Helicarrier into an MAA1 only or an MAA2 only show. We're going to be covering both games in one place because I think we're all going to be playing both games in one place if we're playing both games. So you can just keep subscribing to this show, keep watching us on the stream. We're going to cover both games. And if we're talking about the game that you don't play, if you're picking one or the other, then you can play the game while we talk about the other one.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. You can sit very nicely in the corner and wait your turn.
Exactly. We'll hold up a giant number one and a giant number two, and you can just mute us. And then as soon as we're done talking, we'll hold up the other number.
Please don't hold up a giant number two.
Yeah. Well said.
Everybody, all right. Just follow Klotz's example.
So let's talk about all the things that we've heard about and even seen a little bit in some leaked screens. First off, if you have not already registered for Marvel Avengers Alliance 2, go do that because you'll get a Guardians of the Galaxy character as soon as the game goes live. The URL is Marvel Avengers Alliance and then the number 2.com. So go do that right away.
It's a great little site. It's not too much here to overwhelm you. You can watch the preview videos. Yeah.
But that's a good way of saying sparse. Not a lot there to overwhelm you.
That's enough to get me hungry. It was. Yes, it was enough to get me hungry without a ton of stuff to overwhelm me.
Correct. And the video that they brought with this leak was great. I mean, with Thanos and Death. Well, it tells you that it's going to be, you know, because of the incursions, you've got Iron Man looking at a decimated New York. And it all fits in with the whole incursions storyline, which was touched on a little bit with MAA, with MAA-1. Boy, it's been forever since we've seen those incursion icons, right? I guess we get those as part of...
you get them with the chapters?
The new chapters.
But, you know, you only play them because you have to complete
right,
the chapter.
That's right, exactly.
With,
they're
right?
still there, but you only you only do them once for the task, and then you're kind of done with them. So I guess they're always there. We just, I think we just don't see them anymore. The visuals from what we've seen and what they've talked about, the images that we've seen, it's a 3D look. It's got kind of a cool cel-shaded style. There was a Sega, I think a Genesis game or a Dreamcast game called Jet Set Radio that came to mind when I was seeing the graphics, the kind of style of graphics where it's three-dimensional, but it's got kind of a cel-shaded feel to it, which is really cool.
Almost like also Borderlands kind of has that same feel. For
right.
me.
Yeah, totally. The agent, your agent is going to be taking a break and not battling in the fights. They're going to be sitting back and letting three heroes, technically six heroes, go back and forth and fight. So it's still going to be 3v3, but you'll be able to tag team out, presumably tag team out one hero with another one from your reserves if you need to, which is interesting. Stamina is not going to be your big resource anymore. You're going to get some other. And by the way, if you want to talk any, like go into details or discuss any of these, jump in and we'll talk about them. Stamina is not going to be your primary resource anymore. So you're going to have resources that are tuned specific to that character. For example, Hulk is going to have rage. This actually is kind of like a World of Warcraft. Well, it feels like a World of Warcraft thing where, you know, warriors build up rage and then that powers their attacks, while rogues build up energy and that powers their attacks and stuff like that, which is really cool. I didn't have this in the show notes, but it looks like it's using the different timing and order system where certain characters have faster attacks that are maybe less powerful. Other ones have slower ones. And it's not always a you go, then I go, then you go, then I go. Like, you know, Quicksilver might be able to take more attacks. His attacks might come up more in the rotation, but they'll be less powerful. Whereas somebody like the Thing, slower, fewer attacks, but more powerful when he does attack. So that at least that's what it looked like from the leaked GIF that we saw. You can bring in your allies' heroes as playable characters. So you know, it's kind of like the distress call, but instead of them just doing one action and then leaving like a fart in the wind, you actually get to keep them on the fighting platform for a while and actually use them like they were your character, which is cool. You can customize your hero's abilities even further, it looks like, than you were able to with ASOs and AISOs and EISOs.
Eight slots to customize, I think.
Is that what it is? Wow.
That sounds... Because it said it was up for... I read the article with Marvel, off of Marvel.com, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it was saying... more than your standard... your four attacks. You're actually going to have eight slots. So you'll actually...
There you go.
You swap attacks, like it's a loadout, like a weapon loadout.
Swappable
for your character
abilities.
You have I think eight different attacks that your the hero can do, but you can only take in so many. So it's a loadout, as it were, for a hero's powers, which is a very interesting concept to me.
So super customizable. Hopefully that's not gonna create some massive crush in complexity. Because I think one of the things that you don't want to do is have a game that is so complex in how, you know, use this resource to buy these things, use this other resource to buy these other things. Yeah. You have, you know, a billion different ways to customize the character. There's a there's a level of that's nice and that's welcome. Then there's a level where you go too crazy and, you know, all of a sudden you've got, characters you don't want to use because you've over-complexed them.
Yep.
For lack of
it's clearly too early to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I would assume that what will happen with this mechanic is that we will solve characters, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. We will like the most efficient builds for them.
Your microphone just went from the good one to a bad one.
Everybody's having mic issues today.
Not you and me, Charles. We're professionals.
Hey, I'm just here for the candy.
Now, I will say, as Klaus goes back, the first thing I saw, because so I read the details on how you get your character. It's like, well, is everybody going to get the same character? Klaus, I've actually got to experience this a little bit with Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. I'm very excited. The system you've talked about that you've loved so much is coming to MAA 2. It is a token system. You're going to get a Guardian's token, and when you turn it in, you randomly get one of the five Guardians.
Cool. And that's the way, that's what you get from that free registry up there, yep. Marvel. Yeah.
But it explained how it worked. It was like, oh, Klaus has been talking about this forever with Marvel Heroes.
Exactly. And it should be the awesome way that you do everything, right? I mean, and yeah, you kind of have that with CP. You can say, all right, I choose to spend my CP on this, but it should be the way you do with PvP, right? Instead of PvP rewarding Hero X, you should get to spend your PvP winnings on, you know, any of these heroes or an alt uniform or things like that. Let's actually talk about uniforms because they mentioned that too. Your hero or your costumes, your alts, are treated as separate heroes. So you can actually have multiple versions of a hero in battle, as those different alts, probably tying in with that whole incursion thing. So you've got the reality of
A team of Hulks.
And you'll get one turn every 10 minutes.
I need.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, you'll get Mr. Fix-It, and you'll be able to play him alongside this version of Hulk, Planet Hulk, versus this version of Hulk over here. At least that, again, we're basing a lot of this on speculation from what we've read, but it seems like that would be the logical way to take this is treating as like, okay, this costume is really the version of Iron Man from this reality, from this universe, from this incursion Earth. And you're bringing him in as part of your team.
Now, a good balance to that. See, right now, right, with our alts, the core character stays the same. So where you've leveled up that core character, right, that goes through, would be a nice balance is if these are incursion characters that you still have to manage them. So you don't just instantly get five level 15 Hulks. You have a level 15 Hulk and a level 12 World War Hulk and a level, because you have to manage the resources to level them up separately. And I think that would bring a balance because Nikolai's already being evil. Five Quicksilver is what he puts into the chat. He's like, oh crap, dude. Right. That hurt. I like the, and you Klaus can jump in anytime he wants because it's all theory here, but I like the idea of shards and coins because what little I have experienced with shards is you can still farm the character you want. You get the shards you need for that character, but then when you buy the character with it, there's still an act of randomness to which star level or which rank up, you know, if they do ranks or however they're going to do it in MAA, but in my experiences with stars, 1 to 4 stars. And you never know if you're going to get that one. So then you just level from there as well. Because I always thought taking that control over, well, I want to buy Hulk. Don't tell me I can't buy Hulk. I want to buy Hulk. I realized that actually farming and focusing on what you're getting, you still allow the game to give you stuff. Because since I can buy Hulk, I can't just randomly win Hulk surprise. That was your lockbox today. You know, but with shards, random gifts and those kind of things, you can get, hey, I got this shard I wasn't expecting today. Now I can get Deadpool because I got his last shard or something. I like the idea.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, that seems like the coolest way they could do it.
It's kind of like how it was in Puzzle Quest when we were all trying that out. You know, like you'd sometimes get an alternate version of a character and you'd be like, oh, sweet. Like I, you know, wasn't planning to get this guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm interested. And so you might like occasionally get a resource that allows you to get these characters. and explore characters you're not normally focused on, which I like. Like, I like being able to go farm, like, you know, Future Fight did this, you know. If you want to go farm Hulk, you got to go do this every day. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. And we know that eventually we'll get him or whatever. But, like, also getting other things along the way that let you get characters is good, too.
Yes.
So giving a little agency to the player to direct what, you know, what path they want to go down, but then also sprinkling in the opportunity to get other things that they maybe didn't have on their list is really sweet. I think that's actually probably one of the shortcomings of this first game is that we have to get them all. Like, it's the Ash Ketchum's dilemma. You know,
yes.
We have to get them all because we need them for the bonuses and we need them for operations and stuff like that. So it gets crazy. I really like the model that other games have used where it's like if you get extra characters, they might still contribute to your overall stats in PvP or something, but it's not like you absolutely have to have them. And I hope that's what we'll see is like you can focus on characters you really like. You'll still pick up other characters that maybe you didn't intend to, but it's not like there's this rat race to get every single character because, yeah. You know, I think that takes a lot away from the game. I think that's the thing that transitions it into being more like a job than a fun experience, you know what I mean? So I'm really hoping the way this sounds, there's going to be a lot of customization issues or not issues, aspects,
choices,
stuff like that. So I'm really hoping that they'll let us focus on characters we're really into rather than having to get everybody to keep up, you know?
I hope so. I mean, I think I'm still going to fall into the, I want them all, but you know, maybe there are going to be some like
having to
exactly wanting to versus having to.
Yeah.
I hope my worry and again, so early, hard to speculate, but that was the thing that did turn me off of Future Fight was that you have a character and there are about six different ways to upgrade that character. You know, the XP leveling, then there's the star leveling, then there's the stat leveling. There's, you know, and you've got that kind of with the Star Wars Heroes game as well, which is a little bit better, but still kind of annoying to have so many different ways. Like the rank, you've got ways to rank them up with shard, with those character specific shards. You've got ways to rank them up with individual stats that you can put on their six slots, you know, like gear and mm-hmm. armor slots. Then you've got, you know, you can pay to level them up with XP, and they're all different ways to level them up. So you don't know if your Luke Skywalker, just as an example, which has really high stats here, lower stats there, this, that is higher than your Stormtrooper over here, which has a really high rank, a low promotion, you know. I like a simple, it doesn't have to be as simple as MA1, but I do like a simple method for upgrading and managing your characters, beefing up their stats. So hopefully we don't see that kind of thing with MA2, or at least if we do, it's not an excessive, yeah, there are four different ways to upgrade them. You've got to upgrade all four to have a powerful character.
Well, we'll talk about that next break, because I actually disagree. I like that whole format.
Do you like that? Okay.
To a point, we'll talk about it later.
Sure.
But one thing I do love about Future Fight that I would like to see here and in other games is they give you a free chest, like many games. They give you a free thing once a day. You log in. And if you get the character you already have, it goes, hey, you've already got this. So they used to send, which was still a great method. Here's 8 biometrics, because that's the method they use to get characters instead of shards or CP. Here's 8 biometrics for that character. So now you can level them up. Or you store it to level them up. Now, they actually give you what's called 8 selector biometrics. And when you use it, you get a random choice of 16 characters to pick from. Say, hey, I want 8 of those instead. Mm-hmm. And it lets you still have some choice to the randomness, which I thought was great. I still actually thought it was fine. It's like, hey, you've already got Iron Man, so here's more to help him level up. The other thing I like... that I'd like to see. I think I lost my thought process because there was something in there about it. Oh, is that they do have alt costumes. The alt costumes just boost the... they do just boost 10%, which keeps it simple. Costume for costume's sake, and it gives you a little 10% boost no matter what. That's great. As opposed to, I don't like the costumes doing nothing in Marvel Heroes. It breaks my brain. It's like, well, I know I joke about wanting to play dress up, but I actually do want a purpose to actually dress right. him yeah. differently.
Sure.
Well, but the thing is, like, okay, let's take Iron Man, for example.
Sure.
If you like the Heartbreaker version of the suit, mm-hmm. in, let's say, in a game like Avengers Alliance, maybe that's not the good suit. Doesn't it kind of suck that you can't run around in the suit that you like mm. or the costume for the character that you okay. like?
Yes.
And go do everything. Yes. You're forced to wear a certain costume, you know? I mean, that it's cool. It's tough because it's like, that's what's cool about MAA is that getting the different costumes, they're usually better than the base model. But then after a while, it's like, well, maybe I don't like this costume. You know, like, for example, Pestilence Beast. Some people hate that costume. I think it's flipping amazing. I think that's one of my favorite costumes in the entire game. But like some people completely hated that. And that's such a powerful costume for that character. It's the only reason he saw any play at all, you know, and yeah. you couldn't not play that. So like, that's kind of a bummer, you know what I mean? Like, and mm-hmm. in the end, I think people want cosmetics to be cosmetics. I like the idea of like, let's say that when you unlock a new costume, you unlock a new item or ability or slot that you is now added to the character's available stuff, but you don't have to necessarily equip that costume to use it. So there's still this like, you know, urge to go get that costume, but it's not like completely reliant on wearing it all the time kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. If that makes sense. Like I'm
yeah,
trying to make
that's
sure.
Fair that enough. Yeah. That yeah. makes sense. That is fair enough. You're talking about the incursion and the alts and the different characters. I like how, you brought up Puzzle Quest, Klotz. I like how it manages it. When you get an alt version of that character, it's a whole different character. You have mm-hmm. to have the slot open. You collect, you level that character up totally separately, but in the same exact fashion as you level up every other character by getting comic book covers for that specific mm-hmm. character. I liked that aspect of it because there's something about alts that is fun and frustrating at the same time. I love Hulk. I want Hulk to be amazing. He's not. You came out with an alt. That was okay. You came out with another alt. That was okay. The current alt, AOU alt for Hulk, is great. But along with characters, it doesn't matter if the alt's fine or not. I'm in the same boat as Ibbet. I feel like I need to get them all because I know partially they're cool and I want them. But the other thing is I know at any point in this game, the meta can change. And all of a sudden, that alt is the one that I need to stay competitive. And that's a little frustrating having to buy them all versus you collect them as a character. I'm going to collect it anyway, but now I know how to manage it better. I can manage that quote unquote alt in a whole different way than I manage Hulk over here because I want this Hulk to do this for me. So I want World War Hulk to do this different thing for me. I like the idea of that separation.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Well, you know, we're going off on these changes here. What else?
You know, we never even brought up the fact, and everybody probably already knows this, but it is going to be mobile only, at least initially. But they haven't made any announcements saying that.
They did clarify that it's phones and tablets because there was some concern about the way it was worded.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. It's the mobile platform. You know,
right. So. Exactly. So Android, iOS, they haven't been specific about which platforms, but I'd say it's a big mistake if they only do one of those. They need to do both of those and hopefully Windows Mobile as well.
I would be shocked if it wasn't Android and
iOS off the bat.
Because I'm about to get an Android phone myself and that would be real awkward.
Right.
Because BlueStacks isn't worth it.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
So anything else? I mean, I guess, you know, as more information is leaked out, we'll bring it to you. And if one of us or all of us get in the beta, we'll talk about it here on the show and we'll give spoiler warnings for people who, don't want to be spoiled.
I'm sure with most betas, there's some forms of non-disclosure. So we'll talk about what we can talk about. But yeah.
Of course.
But with the whole lashback against mobile only, I wanted to encourage everybody to say, look, a lot of games that were started off mobile who did really well became Steam games, became mm-hmm. Xbox games, even Xbox Marketplace. I'm assuming I don't have a PlayStation. I'm thinking of games like Peggle and games like Candy Crush. You can get those in the Xbox Marketplace. I imagine you can probably get them in the PlayStation Store. Mm-hmm. Definitely in the Windows App Store and, of course, Valve, Steam, those kind of things. let's get it right first. You know, my our biggest complaint with MAA has been the platform. It's the Flash is just so constrictive. Using Puffin this week to play the battles for PrevP, it's been, I get so frustrated because now Puffin's locked up, or there's other things I don't want to waste time going into, but there's definitely frustrations. I'm thinking, God, if I just to play on my tablet straight is great. Yes, I understand. I want to play it on my PC too. I'm going to miss it. I want it to be transferable back and forth like Hearthstone. Exactly. You know, like Hearthstone as far as it tracks.
Right.
But if it goes well, they will get there, because why would you burn money? They've proven that's one thing they don't do. It's just go, no, we're going to, oh, you want to give us money? We're going to throw it in the incinerator. We don't care. they don't do that. I'm not talking about gold sales. I'm not talking about gold sales.
No. I mean, look at what happened with the iOS version of this game.
It just wasn't supported. It didn't. That one didn't go well because they didn't sync it. So if they do it wrong, that's exactly what
happened. Well, yeah, that's what I mean, though. Like,
but they still tried.
Well, they didn't put the resources behind it that they needed to. I mean,
but they didn't say, oh, screw iOS. That's what I'm talking about. They're not saying, oh, we're not going to do that. They're saying they've shown that they will try. They had it on their own servers. They had it on Facebook. And then they had it on iOS and Windows. And the mobile versions, it was done incorrectly, sure. We don't know how it was handled necessarily in the back end. But they did try, and that's what I'm saying, is they've proven that they'll try new formats once they lock down the one that works.
And one clarification, not clarification, but kind of an addition to that, is something that did come out on the MA Insider's Twitter. Justin Woods did confirm that if you have two devices on the same platform, like two Android device, Android tablet and Android phone, for example, your progress will be shared between the two. So while you're out and about, you can play on the phone. While you're at home or on an airplane, well, probably not an airplane, but you can play on the tablet and your progress will move. They didn't say anything about cross-platform progress. If you have an iPad and an Android phone, for example, if your progress would be between the two.
Basically, as long as they have the same login server for all the services, they'll be fine.
And again, Facebook is great for that. Facebook has proven to be a great login server for a lot of these games, Hearthstone included, so that you can go.
Hearthstone uses Facebook. They use BattleNet. They use Blizzard's own thing. But again, that would be the right way to do it. Yeah, exactly. Right. If they're using their own servers, whether it's with a redirect to Facebook or whatever, I'd say leave Facebook the hell out of it. Yeah, although there is an ally system, so presumably there is going to be some sort of social connection.
I think the key is to host everything themselves, but to allow it to network through Facebook.
Right.
Most games do. You know, I mean, you don't want to base it on Facebook, like the login and stuff like that, because if something happens to Facebook, you could potentially just lose your game, you know,
right,
from their perspective kind of thing. I think the trend is finally moving away from Facebook games too. Because phone, I mean, you got to realize, like, social games kicked off, when they became a big part of the market, it was because phones weren't good yet. And now that phones are really powerful, you can run really high quality games on them. And so, you know, you can play on PC and on the, like, what they've accomplished with Hearthstone is amazing.
Yes.
Because it plays just as well on all.
It set the bar. Yeah. For what these games, you know, cross platform, cross device could be, with parity and consistent feel and format.
Yeah. So that's my thought on it, is just as long as they support it right, this should be great. Some people were mentioning that it should be playable on PC. I'm sure you'll still be able to use, like, BlueStacks and other emulators to do it, but what I'd really like to see them do is support it just straight up, like McFall said, like offer it as a download through Steam or something. A lot of games have been jumping platforms lately. I literally just bought a game called Helldivers on Steam that just came out on Steam a week ago, and it was originally a PlayStation Network game, you know, so it was from PSN. It was designed as, you know, one of the downloadable games. It's not super intensive on the graphics and everything, and it has great gameplay, and it's amazing on PC, and it's got a great multiplayer aspect to it. So I think it's doing well, it's getting a lot of buzz, you know, really quickly. So I think if other developers look at games like that that can jump platforms and are successful, we'll continue to see more. I think the only thing that gets in the way with that is sometimes some of these developers don't really want to have the middleman. You know, they don't want to cut Valve in on the profits and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But so I think that's the only thing that might ever really keep the Marvel games from being available that way. But then that could change. You know, we don't know.
Who knows?
But, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. All right. Let's see. Next on the list, Klotz, do you want to tackle this one?
Let me look at the list.
Well, it goes into your feelings of the new game versus the old game. And how you're going to talk about that.
Okay, so basically everybody knows I'm not playing MAA anymore. And so we've talked about it internally for a while, and we had decided some time ago that I was going to take a step back and go part-time for FTH because we have we're officially launching the network in January, and I'm looking to get my own show off the ground, and we have Breaking the Panel, which has been going great. So we basically have a lot of plates in the air, and I really don't have that much to contribute to this show as far as, you know, Avengers Alliance. However, we kept planning to announce this for the last couple of weeks, and then things just keep coming up where like we'd forget to do it and we'd be wrapping the show and stuff. And then Playdom's like, oh, by the way, Marvel Avengers Alliance 2 is coming out. And then I'm like, well, I'll be back, suckers. So basically the plan is here after this month, I'm going to ride it out through the end of the year. You're going to see a lot less of me on FTH week to week. You'll still see me probably at least once a month. I'll pop in and come join everybody and reminisce. And then as the sequel starts to ramp up and we start to get hopefully a beta announcement and we get to get into a beta and all that kind of stuff, then you'll see me start ramping back up. And you know, if it comes out and the launch is successful, you should expect me to come back full time at that time. As basically, I'm not going to play the first game. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. I'm sorry. It's dead to me. But,
if there's a gold sale, Paul?
Oh, well, there better be a gold sale in the sequel because that's where it's going. Basically, one of the big things that knocked me out of this first game is that I've expected this announcement for some time. I've theorized on it. A few of you people who've talked to me outside of the show know that I've thought this for at least a year now. And my whole thing was that, frog in my throat, trying to play catch up and having the new content come out at the pace that it does, I wasn't actually catching up. Like I was doing some catch up, but the new content that was coming out was just getting further and further ahead of me. And I wasn't willing to spend a bucket load of cash, and I wasn't willing to spend 8 hours a day to catch up. And I said, well, you know what? I had a great time with this game. I love this show. I love this community, but I'm going to just kind of take a step back. We'll work on our other stuff as part of the network. And then when this announcement comes, I'll jump back in and here we are. So that's a reality. Just want to let you guys know what's going on. I'm not going away. I'm just taking a step back. If you are upset by that, thank you. I love you. if you were ecstatic, screw you. No, but yeah, this should be better. You don't have to stare at me just staring blankly at my monitor while McFall and Ibit talk for at least a half an hour anymore at the beginning of the show. But yeah, so that's what you can expect. Now you can find me on Breaking the Panel, as we've mentioned, but my new show, Come Out and Play, I'm looking to launch it in the new year in early January. But the big thing is we're also I'm going to plug the other project right now. It's not in the notes this way. But December 26th, the day after Christmas, I am hosting, but we as a network are also hosting the Discothon, which is a why am I drawing a blank on the name of the organization? Extra Life. Yeah, it's going to be an Extra Life event where I'm going to stream for 12 hours straight. We're going to have the guys come on. We're going to have some other GSTU people come on. I'm going to have some of my local friends come on. We're going to play games. We're going to do panels. Like we're going to do a whole bunch of stuff from noon until midnight Eastern that day. So, and hopefully we'll get some recording of some of the stuff that we do, like when we do panels. We're going to cap it off right now. Tentatively, the schedule is still kind of up in the air, but we're looking to do a big community call at the end of the stream.
That means you. So, people.
That means you guys. So if you guys are interested in doing another community call like we've done a few times in the past, a Google Hangout, let us know. We're going to have to limit it to agents-only launch people just because, you know, there's only so many voices that can be heard at once.
Yeah.
We're going to do it at the, you know, as a capstone thing at the end. We're going to do it. I'm looking at scheduling about an hour and a half, but some people might pop in and out and all that kind of stuff. So some really exciting stuff. Come check it out. Even if you, you know, maybe you don't have any pennies to pay and a good cause, just come support the show by being there, talking with us, hanging out. We're going to have a good time. I intend to play at least some of Rocket League, the new hockey mode that's out through the holidays. We're probably going to play the game that I just mentioned, Helldivers, because it's hilarious because friendly fire is a thing. And calling in like support drops and stuff like that can kill you. So it will be comedy ridden. And we'll do some other stuff. So I'll release a schedule probably a little closer to the holiday of like when you can expect to see certain people doing certain things so you can tune in and, you know, come check out the stuff you're really interested in. But ahead of time, I just want to say we appreciate all your support. This event is in honor of Jesse Henderson, our good friend that we lost earlier this year. It's gaming is something that he really believed in, and he was such an amazing member of this community. And we're going to start doing that every year to honor his memory and just continue to spread the love. So hope to see you guys there. And you'll still see me here on the show until the end of the month. And then, you know, once this new game comes out, you'll be seeing a lot more of me again.
And this event is a great time for you to experience the rest of the Giant Size Team Up Network. That's one of the things it's designed to do is you're going to get to see the personalities and get a taste of the shows of each of the different hosts that are on here and how we all interact and play with each other and have fun. And the official launch of that network will be January 1st. So this will be your preview of what you're going to get over there. And it's going to be a blast. I'm not sure if you've decided if we're going to give away stuff. That'll be announced later. It'll be fun.
We'll probably try to give away at least something. If you are listening and you're interested in contributing something that can be given away, hit me up on Facebook or any one of us. You can email us through the show as well. I would be super stoked to take any donations or offers to donate anything. It would be sweet if like somebody wanted to pony up something for Steam to, you know, for a digital gamer. I have some tabletop stuff floating around that I'm going to throw up. So basically, sorry, I just got completely derailed by Nikolai. Chat. But yeah, so if you want to contribute, maybe you got some gaming thing lying around or you got some extra codes from a Humble Bundle or something like that, hit me up. Let me know. We'll get it all together. We'll give some stuff away. We'll spread the love. That's the whole plan. So
cool. So that is next week for those listening live. And even if you get the podcast in a timely fashion, that's December 26, 2015. Next week, also, of course, being Christmas week, we're going to have a very special from the Helicarrier. When you said it, my mind went back to like the after school specials. Like, oh no, what problem is Crossy learning to deal with today?
It's a very special different strokes.
Yeah.
Watch out for the Maytag repairman.
Yeah. Oh, man, that ruins my childhood so badly. what we're going to do is this is for you guys. We know there's lots and lots of information. We haven't even got All Hail the King, rather. We haven't got all kinds of stuff doing yet. So this is a chance for you guys to give feedback on all the news, get the questions answered that you've never gotten answered before. Hit us up. What we're doing is a live call-in show next week. What will help us out, because we don't have a ton of ability to stack you in line, so it's going to be like this. All right, now's the time to call in. I'm about to put out the phone number, but you'll call the phone number. And we'll go, okay, we're going to take this one. And then everybody else will just have to wait. We'll just ignore the calls because we can't just put you on hold and we don't want 5,000 people on at once. So then it'll be, okay, that one's done. The next person calls in. And it'll be a little stilted like that. So if you really want to get on, and you know, if you make things easier for us, we put you on the show. Call in during the week to the same exact number I'm about to give out here, or the Skype as well, leave a voicemail because we can just stack voicemails up in the player and we can hit play. So in between calls, we'll be playing the voicemails. This is your chance to talk to us, to get on, to have those questions answered, or give your thoughts on MAA 2, Howard the Duck. And I'd like, because it's the end of the year and this is just how I like to be, I want to hear what you love about this game from Playdom. Why do you still play MAA? What do you love about it? Give us the good stuff. So here's how you do that. You can record an MP3 locally and email it to, let's do my email address, to bearcrawling@gmail.com. That way I can just easily access it and I don't have to jump through hoops. So email MP3s to bearcrawling@gmail.com. You can call in, write this down, 404-496-6041. During the week, it'll go to a voicemail, and it's usually about Success Freaks and other media stuff. So you can just leave a voicemail there. It's a Skype number. It'll go directly to voicemail. And I want to tell you, I'm not going to take calls during the week. So I'm going to skip a whole lot of accept that call this week because I expect you guys to be calling in. That will also be the live number next week when we're doing the show. And then finally, you can Skype Bear Crawling, BEARCRAWLING. And it'll also go to voicemail this week, and you can leave your voicemails there. So that's the three ways to do it. Email your MP3, call 404-496-6041, or Skype Bear Crawling. And this is going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern. The date is, what, the 22nd? I believe it is. It's Tuesday, week of Christmas, mm-hmm. if that helps you out. Right. And all times are in Eastern, so it'll be 4 p.m. Eastern. And that's the whole show. Is what you guys bring. So if you guys don't bring stuff to us, it's going to be like a 10-minute show. We're going to go away. Yeah.
We'll probably have a Kingfisher, a Pokeprof, and that's it.
That's it. We might. I just came up with this now. That's true. So I have not even asked. We might get King on for his once-a-year appearance.
Way to put him on the spot.
No. He's busy. I'm not pressuring him. This is my fault. So if he doesn't make it, it's because I didn't think of it until just now. And I still have to ask him. And if he doesn't make it, it's probably because I forgot to ask him this week. But all this talk about the King, let's go ahead and play All Hail the King.
Sounds good.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, for today, there are a few serious issues I want to talk about. First of all, there are some serious bugs going on with the game. My window, for example, is shrunk, and it cuts off a few things. It only plays right in full screen. But I'll be honest with you, that's nothing compared to what a lot of agents are going through. Over the past few days, I've received a lot of messages from various agents saying they cannot log in. They keep getting a shield alert, and this was going on for days. I was then directed to the forums, where there are a lot of posts about this. So it's a very widespread problem. And I know they made a forum post and had a tweet about it, so they are working on it. That's a good start. The problem is, they ended up missing out on a large chunk of the 5-day preseason. And so of course they had no chance of finishing in the higher tiers. Many of the agents who contacted me were even more upset, maybe more so, about the spec op. And missing farming opportunities, etc. Now the good news is, they still have some time left on the spec op. But of course, the preseason's over. I don't know about you, but I'd be extremely frustrated if this happened to me. And I do think that everyone should get some sort of compensation. No, I'm not up in arms saying, you know, down with PD or anything like that. I understand problems happen. And from my limited knowledge, PCs and programming can be extremely difficult. But in many of the other games I play, for much smaller errors, they always seem to give some sort of reward currency. In this game, it'd probably be like 10 gold. I think that would be a nice gesture. It shouldn't break the bank or anything crazy like that, and I believe it was the Vibranium League reward, which many of these agents had no chance at since they couldn't log in. I'll also be honest with you, it has me a little worried, and that's because I really didn't have any backup footage. So if my game went down and I couldn't log in, then I couldn't make any videos. In the past, I've kept other video footage ready, but with the changes or nerfs to our HP and everything, it pretty much made all the old recordings worthless. They have at least between 10 and 20k HP more. So yeah, that definitely won't work, and I really need to stock up on some more recordings. The other option, I suppose, would be to post a video on another game, and that's quite possibly what I'd have to do. But yeah, that just kind of made me aware I should probably get some extra PvP footage, just in case. Anyways though, back to the error and possible compensation. I do think 10 gold could go a long way, and it's not even a big reward. So that's the first thing I think that probably should happen. The other thing I'm hoping is we get a great Christmas gift, and then all the agents can be happy once again. At least that would be the best case scenario. There's been so much information that I don't even know if I missed anything. Is Howard the Duck going to be our Christmas present? I mean, I'd be very happy with that, but I'm not entirely sure. If PD basically guaranteed that everyone could get him for Christmas, then sign me up. That would be an awesome gift. But as far as the speculation, maybe Red She-Hulk or someone's coming to the game in the next spec up. We know Howard's coming. But the biggest news is probably the announcement, or at least the further details, about Marvel Avengers Alliance 2. And I can't wait to hear the guys take on this new game. Hopefully you're all as excited as I am. First of all, I think it's a great opportunity for all of us. So hopefully when new details come out, like a release date, we'll have to discuss some strategy on covering this new game. And although I'm not going to quite go to this level, just an example on mobile games, the Dragon Ball Z game I play just hit 11 million downloads.
Nice.
So yeah, talk about an audience. It may not get there, but it does have a lot of promise. First of all, it sounds great. And as long as they actually dedicate the time and effort to it, because I know in the past, they already did a mobile version, and they didn't even keep up with it. And then another problem with tactics. Yeah, I could understand why some people would be skeptical. But for now, let's just hope for the best. I think it's a great opportunity to grow the community, and that's what I'm most excited for. As for the All Hail the King video, I'm working on last week's episode, which is going to feature Misty Knight. And like the other week, it may be posted tonight, or at the latest tomorrow morning. For the episode beyond that, I'm going to go ahead and take another look at Boomerang. He's an awesome lockbox character with a lot of potential. Not to mention, you can team him up with pretty much anyone. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be it for today, but I want to thank you all for listening, and send it back to our wonderful hosts.
You know, I did hear that there were some people not being able to play. No, I experienced that a couple of weeks ago, or actually months ago, I guess. I do know with a lot of black screen load times have gotten me, but not the shield alerts. Somebody actually posted today in our live chat room, I think, that they said they didn't get to play for 5 days, which means they missed the whole pre-PvP.
Oh, jeez, yeah. What a bummer.
So that does suck. I do love the idea of Howard the Duck just being Christmas presents for everybody.
Just give us a Christmas present. By the way, awesome. Somebody posted on YouTube about 15 minutes of gameplay of MAA2. So I've had that kind of going while I was listening to Kingfisher. I've had the sound off on YouTube, but it looks good. There's some water effects going on with rain on the ground in this plaza where you're fighting that look absolutely amazing. So nice. Somebody did post a link to that in the
Nikolai did
in the chat room, and then we'll also, you know, obviously Agents Only Lounge will have a link to it there if you haven't seen it. But
Nick's really great about putting stuff in Agents Only Lounge.
He is, yeah. And it definitely shows off that fight system, like I was talking about, where it's not just, you know, everybody A, B, C, D, you know, everybody gets their turn in that order. It looks like there's a timeline where there's slower heroes and faster heroes, and it looks like it's not going to be a complete forget everything you know about MAA and start over with a whole brand new system. I mean, you know, the way you select fights looks like it's going to be the same. It looks like it's taking me through a tutorial mode right now. So, but it's the same classes that we're familiar with, the same leveling, looks really, really good. So we'll watch more of that later on after the show for sure.
All right. Well, here comes the PokeProf.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood poker prof, and it's been quite the whirlwind week, hasn't it? We've had PvP come and go already. We know about the upcoming PvP hero Colleen Wing. We've been told that Howard the Duck of all heroes is going to be joining us as a lockbox, and that another alliance is on its way, promising to bring new and wild adventures. If that wasn't all, we've got some of the biggest updates to heroes and what they're capable of in a long time, and that's what we'll be going over today. Before anything else is said, Black Knight finally got looked at, and I'm honestly going to leave it at that, since I know our hosts have likely spent half the show already talking about how bugged he was and how much of a fix this was needed. Yeah. There was also a small change-up in the amount of strength Union Jack got, who was running a little rampant thanks to his bounding EISO. It left him a little weaker, though still quite capable of those constant counterattacks should you need it. Some of the bigger changes that we see here are updates to certain effects. For example, one change that happened quite some time ago was the fact that if someone had a protect ability on the field, they wouldn't jump in the way of an ally who successfully dodged that attack. This wasn't working, however, for a phased ally who was effectively dodging all attacks that weren't magic or ethereal in nature. It meant that the hero with the protecting abilities were taking needless damage for effectively nothing. Other effects like this that were streamlined to work as intended include temporal attacks, pinpoint effects, and the rarely used catastrophic attacks. There was also some changes in the damage several heroes are capable of. Some understandable, some non-important, and some out-and-out weird. I can understand the toning down of Anti-Venom's Crusade effect, as that ability is killer even without being set up. Medusa also enjoys the buff to the damage of her level 1, which helps her out even more when she's trying to protect her allies. But why reduce the thing's damage? Doesn't the poor guy got enough to deal with being in the top 5 worst heroes around list? Cut him some slack. Should you wish to see some more of those damage changes, check out the undocumented change list on the last patch over on the MAA Wikipedia. Though keep in mind that numbers aren't everything in a fight. Effects, passives, ISOs, and levels all matter when you're thinking about who you're going to call in battle, and it's always better to have someone who fits the situation rather than someone who can just blow it to sky high in a single attack. Head back to the Helicarrier, agent, and prepare yourself for the future.
That's awesome. He definitely deals with patch notes better than I do.
Yeah, right.
Oh, thanks, Evan. I appreciate you. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, man. He does. Yeah.
That does remind me of something I wanted to ask. Have you guys been using Fixer against Kingpin in the boss battles?
No.
When they came out, was it last week, 2 weeks ago?
In the Unexploitable?
Yeah, I just swapped it up.
Yeah, I've been using Spider-Girl and Rocket.
Yeah, because I noticed that where Fixer had that tink-tink-boom power with his mines, now it's just tink-tink-tink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's through the Unexploitable?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Wasn't a nerf to Fixer, it was a buff to Kingpin.
Got it.
Yep.
Yeah, although I used Spitfire with Amazing Spider-Girl. And that really
that's a good which one. Too.
Yeah, depends on which class he is. Because I'll definitely destroy some classes better than the others. Mm-hmm. Depending on the class, I can take them from 100 to almost 0 in a run. So that's cool.
Cool.
What else we have? Oh yeah, we've got some. We've got a lot of overtime. So do you want to just take these letters that are great and put them in the newsletter?
Yes. Why don't we do that? Because we're already at an hour and 45 minutes and we got to record a break in the panel too.
We do. Very special Star Wars related break in the panel.
In which we reveal everything about the whole movie from start to finish.
But we won't publish it for a year.
Exactly.
All right. I guess it's time to put. And I want to say to those who did write it, thank you for writing in. You know, we 90% of the time we read every email, blah, blah.
We read every email. I don't know about this 90% thing. We read every email. We just don't read every email on the air.
We do read every email. We are having to change things because so much stuff. And if we're covering two games, if we're covering two games, we're going to have to cut back how much we read as well. So thank you for writing in. It will go out in the newsletter next week. So if you subscribe there, or you can go to thehelicarrier.com and click on From the Field. and it'll give you every email that we've put up there since, I think, show 80 is when we started doing that. So it'll give you good archive and great insight from people. But here we go.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, and about five new playable heroes, the boss has fled.